pictures what we didn't see in the last 80 years. The last time what we saw this kind of pictures what you see in Gaza was in by Hitler, by the Nazis. I will come back. I will open it with this key. Yes. This is the feelings of the Palestinian people. People like me and my friends, you will never see even a single picture in the media.
Okay, good to go, Yasin. Okay. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Unapologetic. Today with me is Rabbi Ilhanan Beck, who is a rabbi and also one of the prominent leaders of Natura Carta. Rabbi is extremely unapologetically anti-Zionist. Welcome to the show, Rabbi.
Thank you, thank you.
Rabbi, just to start things off first, tell me about the world you were born into. Where were you born, firstly? What is your connection with the Jewish community in the country that you were born in, if you were born here or not? And sort of what's your connection with your family and the Holocaust?
As you say, my name is Rabbi Elhanan Beck. I'm born in Jerusalem in 1967. And I'm already seven generations there in Jerusalem. My forefathers was there under the Turkish Empire still. And I consider myself as a Palestinian Jew. However, my father actually, this is my mother's side, my father coming from Hungary, he himself was in a bunker, hidden in a bunker by the Holocaust. My father's mother has been killed in Auschwitz. And my father, all his childhood, he was hidden in the bunker. I mean, when he was a small child, he started, he growing up in Budapest, in Hungary. Then he was in a bunker, and then he go, after the Second World War, he going first to Rome in Italy, and from there he going to Palestine. He arrived Palestine just in the time when the State of Israel has been created. And then he married there, and of course, as most of Orthodox Jewish people, I mean people looks like me, Hasidic Jews, this type of people looks like me, they are always against the State of Israel. I will speak later about it. And so at the end, he see that it's impossible for him to stay in a country and to be against it. So we gone out of the country in 1970. I was a small child then, and my whole family gone out from there. It's not only my family, I mean, since the creation of the state in 1948, tens of thousands of Jewish families has gone out of Israel. They didn't want to live in the State of Israel. I will come back to this point later.
And when you say tens of thousands of Jews have left, is it mainly Jews that look like you?
Yes.
So, but I mean, I'm guessing other Jews have also left, those who are more secular.
I don't know about the secular Jews. However, when I speaking, usually I speaking people looks like me.
Okay, the Orthodox Jews, yeah.
Yes, ultra-Orthodox Jews. What they are keeping, actually, I mean, I know they are so-called modern Orthodox Jews or something like that, they're not keeping the whole Torah, they're not keeping Shabbos, something like that. When I speaking about Jews, I speaking about people what keeping the whole Torah, all the 613 principles of the Torah. So really, we gone out of the State of Israel, and we moved to London here, for 1 year, about 2 years. Then we're going to the USA in Canada. And I came back here about 15 years later. I married here in 1987. Okay. Since then, I'm here. I'm living here in England. I start my activism against the State of Israel. It's already the last 40 years I started, and I was a student of 15, 16 years old, and in the USA, and I continued here in England all the time till today's time.
What encouraged your activism? Was it the fact that your family just and your people and your religious ideas just conflict with the state, or was it something more than that? that sort of encouraged you to start being an activist, a very active activist against Israel?
Again, I want to make it clear, when I'm speaking about activists, I'm coming to the point, Neturi Karta, yes, people call them this organization, called Neturi Karta. Neturi Karta is not an organization at all. Neturi Karta is only the name what people gave for these people what they are speaking out openly against the state of Israel. Neturi Karta means, I come back to your question in 1 minute, Neturi Karta means, the meaning of the two words, Neturi Karta means guardians of the city. Neturi is guardians, Karta is a city. I think in Arabic should also be Karta, a city called Karta. Okay, anyway, this is in Aramaic, the word is in Aramaic, Neturi Karta. That means guardians of the religion. These people, what they are coming out to protect the religion, and they didn't leave for people from outside to invade the religion and to transform it into other ideas. This is what we are doing, and this is what people calling guardians of the city.
And you, by the city, you mean Jerusalem? You mean
no,
Israel?
No, the city, we mean the Jewish faith.
The Jewish faith, okay.
The Jewish religion. Activism doesn't mean really we are not active in any actual physical thing against Israel. We haven't got the power to that, and we're not doing anything against the law and anything like that. The thing what our work is in the Neturi Karta is exactly as the words, guardians of the city, to watch of the Jewish faith, not to let people to transform that and to put it on new tracks, to give that a new look of the Judaism. I will come back to that a bit later when I will explain what is Zionism, what is Judaism.
Okay, I mean, you've mentioned Neturi Karta. Just break down for me, as someone who doesn't understand everything about Judaism and all the various parts of Judaism. There's Haredi Judaism and Hasidic Judaism, and there are people who look like you who support Israel, the Shabbat Lubavitch. Can you just kind of explain to me and our audience where they all fit into each other, and how do they come into existence?
Yeah, look, I prefer better to speak better to explain what is Judaism, what is Zionism, why we are against Zionism, and then we will come to the point.
Okay,
what
sure,
is about
absolutely.
All these type of sects, okay. Amount of sects. So, activists against the state of Israel, that means to keep people on the right track. And I will try to explain that from the beginning. What is Judaism? Judaism is a religion. It's not a race. It's not it's not a nationality. Judaism is a pure religion. Judaism is a religion. Have nothing to do with any race, with any nationality. There can be a white Jew, a black Jew, an Indian Jew, a Japanese Jew, a Chinese, no difference. Everybody who keeps the religion, he converted to Judaism, he's the same Jew as me. Anybody who gone away from Judaism, he doesn't believe in the 13 principles from Judaism, even not he doesn't believe, he's not clear in one of these 13 principles, he's not considered as a Jew. He can call himself whichever name he wants. He can have a strong power, he can have a strong country, he can give the name of the country a Jewish country, he can say whatever he wants, but he is not. Judaism is a pure religion. If you keep the religion, you are Jewish. If not, you are not Jewish. Full stop.
So where does the idea of a Jewish people come from then?
God chosen for 3,500 years ago the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not chosen only the Jewish people. He asked, according to our Torah, he asked all the nations of the world if they want to accept the Torah. And everybody rejected. Only the Jewish people agreed to take the Torah and to keep all the commandments of the Torah. So God chose a people to serve him closer. And when I touch this point, I want just to clarify. People asking many times, what means that? Chosen people, what is that? You are the kings, everybody is a slaves, you will kill everybody, you will be the only people on the world. What is that, chosen people? So I want to clarify this point. Chosen people doesn't mean we are kings, everybody is slaves, or something like that. Are we coming with power to take over the world? Completely not. Chosen people means God chose people to serve him closer, to be closer to him. For all the people in the world, God gave 7 laws of Noah. For the Jewish people, he gave 613 laws. So nobody is... God didn't ask for everybody to be Jewish. Who is once? We haven't got a missionary system anyway to bring in people into our religion at all. We just keep our religion as it is. But however, if somebody wants to convert, he's the same chosen as me. When people asking me chosen people, I say that, firstly, you can be the same chosen as me. If you decide to convert and to keep this religion, you are the same chosen as me. It's not God chose this race. God chose this religion. These people what keeping the religion, everybody who joined this religion, he's the same chosen as me. Everybody who gone away from this religion, he's no more a part of the chosen people. Now, again, what was the question?
The question was, does every single Orthodox Jew agree with you? Because I'm sure there are Orthodox Jews who dress like you. Who do support the state of Israel. What is their ideas and what is their theology?
We come back to this point. Now we come back, what is, I told you what Judaism is.
Right.
Now, what is Zionism? I have to finish off about Judaism, one point, what's important to understand the other part. It's very often you hear in the media that the Zionist propaganda about the promised land, the promised land, the promised land, God promised the land for the Jewish people. Now, every lie, they should have a small percentage of truth. If not, nobody believes that. So, again, it's true that God promised a land for the Jewish people. You can see that in the Torah. However, when you look in the Torah, you see that the promised land was only conditionally, with a condition with that Jews will keep a high level of life, high moral. If not, it's written in the Torah many times that we will be exiled of the land. And this you can see all over in the Torah when God say, I promise a land for you if you will keep the Torah and you will follow us, you will follow me, not follow us. If you follow me, you will do everything what you need. If not, you will be exiled of the land. It was the will of God to send us in exile. The same God who promised the land, he took it away from us as a punishment of our sins.
So according to this idea, you are still all in exile?
Yes. Since then, we are still in exile, and God besworn us with 3 oaths, not to rebel against the nations, not to go up in mass to the Holy Land, and not to push the coming of Messiah. Jews are besworn to stay in exile until the coming of Messiah. So this is, again, Judaism, believing in God, trusting God. Now we're coming to the point of Zionism. Zionism has been founded by Theda Herzl in Vienna, in Austria. He was an atheist Jew, a non-believer at all. And he have a completely different look on Jewish people. He don't believe in God, he don't believe in the Torah, and of course he don't believe in the exile. He just look what's going on here. Jewish people are in exile. We have to organize ourselves. What should the English people do when they are in exile? They have to organize themselves, building a country, find a place where to build a country, a strong country, an army, and so on. That is the look of an atheist Jew, somebody who's a non-believer. Why we should stay in exile? He don't believe in God. He don't believe in the exile. He don't believe in anything. So why we should stay in exile? We have to organize ourselves. This is the seeds of Zionism. So as you can see, that Zionism, from the very beginning, from the root, is don't believe in God. Don't trust in God. Why you stay in exile? We have a reason why to stay in exile. Because we believe in God. We are believers. But they are not believers. They don't believe in God.
So are you saying that all Zionists are not believers?
100%. I will come later, I will come now to the religious Zionist sects. But Zionism, 100%, is built up on mistrusting God. Don't trust in God, don't believe in God. So you have to take your situation in your own hands. If not, you will be lost. This is very simple to understand if somebody is an unbeliever. But if you are a believer, going out of exile by force is a rebellion against the Almighty. God send you in exile. Stay in exile. Wait for the coming of Messiah. Yes, if you have a child, he's bad, and you told him, look, I punish you, stay in the corner for 10 minutes. He coming out. What means that? Rebellion. Couldn't care less about you, about your punishment. I do whatever I want. Yes, this is exactly what Zionism is. God send us in exile. They say, no. No. We don't want to stay in exile. We're going out by force.
Okay, so just to be clear, are you saying that every Jewish person who is a Zionist is an unbeliever?
I don't speak firstly about people. I'm speaking now about the idea of Zionism.
Okay. Zionism. So you're not saying that Jews who are Zionists are unbelievers?
I will come back to okay. that. I mean, as you can understand, by Muslims, yes, if there is some movement what is not correct with Islam, or even it is strongly opposing Islam, yes, but people for some reasons they get confused, and or for some reasons for money or something like that they cooperate with them or something like that, you can't consider that all these people are anti-Muslims. Yes, they are not on the right way. Yes, however, but there could be sometimes, yes, that if these people, you live in someone's country, yes, you can't be too much against the country. Yes, in some ways you are pressurized to cooperate with these traitors of your religion, but you haven't got a way out. Yes, so you can't say all these people are really traitors of the Jewish belief. I will come back to this point later. Let's first explain exactly what is Zionism. And Zionism is built up from the root against Judaism. Because of that, when Zionist came up for 130 years ago, it comes out, all the Jewish rabbis was against it, opposing that. From one point of the world, around the whole world, everybody.
All of them.
Yeah. After a few years, yes, they're coming out, a few rabbis, what they say, give a look, they are completely atheists. We will go to mix up together with them a bit religious, so maybe some of them will come more closer to the religion. And this was a big mistake in the root, because when they cooperate together with the Zionists...
So just to be clear, so some rabbis started cooperating with Zionism?
Really, when I say some... is very, very small percent.
Like what? Like just give us a ballpark. Like 1%, 5%, 0.5%, 20%? I mean, I know you don't know, but like just if you can give me an idea.
In the beginning.
0.1. Okay, I mean, but that's the nature of being in the beginning. But how quickly did it become 20%?
They didn't become too much. They didn't become too much even today.
Even today, what would you consider?
Even
to
today,
be about?
Give a look. In today's day, I think there is 18 million Jews over the world. Where the people call them Jews. However, I don't call them Jews.
So just to clarify, when you say 18 million, you mean that's all the Jews who are outside of Israel?
Yes.
So from those 18 million who call themselves Jews?
What means a Jew? A Jew means somebody what's a believer, what you're following God. People what observing the Torah. Not to speak if it's a Zionist or not. Yes? People were observing Shabbos. Yes? Eat only kosher, something like that. You have maybe 2 million of them.
Okay, so in your from view, this, from those 18 million, there's 2 million that are sort of Orthodox,
yes,
religious
the Jews. All the rest, they're driving a car Shabbos. I mean, they're not eating kosher. We not consider.
I mean, but they consider themselves Jews.
They may consider what themselves. Yeah, the same thing. If somebody will say, "I'm a secular Muslim," what do you tell them?
I mean, that's different. Muslims will say different things.
No. What I want to bring out: if somebody will say, "I'm a secular Muslim," you will tell them they're not such a thing.
No, some Muslims will say that's fine. Others will say no, that isn't. I mean, that's the nature of
In my
thing.
Understanding, yes, It's not possible. Or you are Muslim, that means you are a believer, or you are secular. It doesn't go together. If you are secular, you're not
Muslim. There's definitely some Muslims who have that view, but not all Muslims have that view.
Okay, fine. I tell you now in my view, not in my view, the view of the Torah, the view of people looks like me, all these people think the same about this point. Somebody what is not clear in one of the state and principles of Judaism is not considered as a Jew. Full stop. However, there is 2 million of these people. From these 2 million, I can say that 65% of them are strongly against the state of Israel. And the rest of them, up to 95%, something like that, are at least non-Zionist. Non-Zionist means state of Israel not a part of the life. Haven't got to do with them, they don't think about it. They have their life, their prayers, their businesses, their children.
So they're concerned about other aspects of the Judaic community. They're not concerned about...
Yes, and even I will say that in this way. The state of Israel will come to an end. They will not shed a tear on that. They say 95% of people looks like me.
So 95% of people who dress like this...
Yes. That is not only here in London. You can come in my area, yes, in Stamford Hill. Yes. You will see there is a large community of thousands of Jewish families and hundreds of synagogues, institutes. You won't find in the whole area even a single Israeli flag, even not one. And it's not only here. The same thing you will see in Manchester, the same thing you will see in Gaza, the same thing you will see in Belgium, in Antwerp, same thing you will see in Vienna, same thing you will see in New York, in Canada, in Australia, in Argentina, all over the world. Where you see people looks like me, usually you will not see Israeli flag there.
Okay, now before we move to the 5% and we come back to Theodor Herzl and Zionism, the rest of this, let's just work on the numbers you've given us. So the 16 million non-religious Orthodox Jews. When you were growing up, and even like now, but especially as you were learning about yourself and becoming sort of an adult, how did you perceive them, and how do you feel that they perceive you as your community and personally?
We not consider them Jewish, and we look at them exactly like all the Gentiles of the world. We treat them like that, normal. Like people, I mean, they are people, yes, we are not arguing each other. They choose the way of life. Of course, we think it's wrong, because people who are not Jews, they're not obligated to be Jewish. However, people who are coming from Jewish roots, they are obligated to be Jewish. Even if they are not considered as a Jew, but they are obligated to be Jewish. And of course, they are wrong, but what we can do? I mean, we haven't got the power to do anything. I mean, that's all. What we can do. However, we consider them as non-Jews, and we pray for them, and we wait for them to repent, to come back to God.
And how do you feel they perceive you?
I don't know. We haven't got any special connection.
No, but I mean, do they think you are, you know, you're a bit extreme, and that you are a bit, you know, that you are, do you think that they think you're condescending towards them, or do they think they are actually keeping the Jewish community together because of, you know, the things they do? Like, what do you...
Give a look. They have different Jewish values. Our Jewish values is connected to God. We are servants of God.
And what's their Jewish values?
I don't know. Secular values. It's not my business. I haven't got no connection with them. I'm not interested. I never go into a liberal synagogue.
Was there ever a moment when you were growing up where you were curious as to why, and maybe you explored that part, or like, no, you were just always...
We are so clear in the truth of Judaism, the truth of the Torah, the truth of God. We are not looking into any other thing. I mean, I'm not interested completely what they are.
What about secular liberal-minded Jews who are opposed to the state of Israel? Because of Israel's atrocities, and because of occupation, and because of apartheid and all of these things, how would you regard them?
The only thing what I can say that we are happy, at least, that with one thing they follow the Torah, at least, in a hope that this will bring them maybe back to keep the whole Torah. I mean, I must tell you...
But I mean, do you see them as allies? What do you mean? Or no. You don't see them as allies?
The same like all the people, all the Gentiles, I mean, they are against the state of Israel. Of course, we see them as allies.
So you see them as allies in the idea of Israel, in like rejecting Israel.
Like we are allies when we're going to all the Israelis, all the demonstrations.
So they're allies at the rallies and they're allies when you're opposing occupation.
The only thing is what we're praying to God for them to repent, to come back to the religion. Other people, they didn't have to come back to the religion because they are not Jewish from the beginning. But these people, they are obligated to keep the religion. That's all. But I must tell you that even in the secular so-called Jewish community, I see there is a very strong growing up opposition against the state of Israel. You can see in all the rallies here in London, usually.
How would you gauge it? Would you gauge that? Do you think, give me again, I know it's very difficult talking about percentages, but I do think it's increasing. That's clear, that more increasingly secular Jews are asking more questions about Israel. But in your opinion, is it like 10%, 20%?
I really don't know.
You have no idea, okay.
But I can see that usually in all the rallies here in London, half of the speakers are Jewish, secular Jews. Yes, we just voted Saturday. Yes, you can hear on the names what they're calling.
Yep, absolutely.
These are Jewish people. They're coming from a Jewish background, so I see that. And I see also by the marches, many Jewish so-called Jewish organizations, they're against the state of Israel. However, my opposition to the state of Israel is completely from a different background.
It's from a theological background.
It's from a religious background.
Okay, religious, yes. Okay.
Yes. So, again, I'm coming back to the point.
I mean, we can go back to Theodor Herzl now if you want to speak about that, if you want to. Yeah.
So, again, Theodor Herzl and the founders of Zionism are both completely secular. So they have completely a different look.
And their idea, I mean, was to look after the Jewish people and establish a state.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you can come to the point to ask why they choose Palestine. They say the promised land, but they don't believe in God. Who promised that? They don't believe in the Torah. Where is written the promise? If they don't believe in nothing, it's true. They don't believe in nothing. So why they choose Palestine? Really, they had in that time an offer in Uganda and Argentina, but they rejected. They took Palestine.
I mean, taking Uganda and Argentina would have also been problematic because it would have also been implanting a foreign nation into an indigenous place. It would have also been some form of colonialism. But you tell me why they chose Palestine.
Yes. Why they chose Palestine, I'm not sure in that what you said. Couldn't be.
I mean, people were living in Uganda and people were living in Argentina who were indigenous to those places.
No, I think that they have offered a free place.
I mean, Argentina is a bit complicated because it was already colonized, right? But there were indigenous people there. I mean, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's unfair to the Palestinians. But it would have been unfair to the Ugandans or the Argentinians.
I'm not so good in the world history at that time. However, why they choose Palestine? They know all the problems what will happen in Palestine. I mean, everybody, when you want to move to Manchester, of course, you go down there, you look, who is your neighbors, who is the council there. Yes, you want to know where you're coming in. You want to know all the problems what you will face. The same thing the Zionists knows very well. If they choose Palestine, what's going to happen there in Palestine? However, they choose Palestine because they understand that if they will go to any place, any other place on the world, nobody will look on their side. Like, give a look, you are Muslim, yes? If somebody will make a new movement in Islam with some new values.
Okay,
yes?
So they did it to attract other Jews because of the idea of Jerusalem.
One second. If somebody will have a new movement in Islam, yes, and he choose some place and he's going to live there, with one, two generations, nobody looks on them. They're going away from Islam and everything, the same thing, Judaism, the whole thing of Judaism is the religion. If you go away from the religion, you will be lost between all the nations. So they understand that if they want to keep the identity, what they call themselves Jewish, they need to take Jewish values into their agenda. And they know that every Jew have very strong ties to the Holy Land. Me, myself, yes? Look away that I'm born there in Palestine. Yes, even I'm not born there. Every Jew has very strong ties to the Holy Land. However, these ties are not, this is spiritual ties, have nothing to do with materialism, have nothing to do with nationality. Yes, I want to go to the Holy Land. I feel closer to God there. I feel I can pray that better. I can serve God better there.
Have you been back to the Holy Land since leaving in 1970? Okay.
No. However, I want to go back there. I will never go back there. I want to go back there, but I will wait for my Palestinian passport, and I will get it. We will come back to this point. However, now we're speaking another point. I'm speaking about every Jew have strong ties to the Holy Land, but it's spiritual ties. No difference who ruling the land. In the Palestinians, the English, the Turks, no difference. No difference. My ties to the Holy Land is the holiness of the land, the spiritualness of the Holy Land. But the Zionists took this, all these ties in, confuse people and mix them up with their agenda. And they say, you're looking to the Holy Land, you're praying toward the Holy Land, we will give you the Holy Land. Come with us together. And they're confusing people, ignoring that it's a rebellion against the Almighty. You want to be close to the Almighty? How you can go against them? How you can rebel against them? He commands you to stay in exile. Why you go against them and rebel against them? But people are not, they're not thinking too much. And the Zionists say, give a look, I will give you the holiness, I give you the holy places, the Western Wall, and so on, blah, 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 blah. And they're mixing that up with their idea, even their own. They don't believe in that. They don't believe in the holiness, they don't believe in the Torah, they don't believe in God. But they're mixing up all these Jewish values into their agenda to confuse people, to bring them in. And from that point, we will come into the religious Zionists. The religious Zionists, these people, what they are blindly get confused from the Zionist propaganda. People.
At what point? Give me an idea. So if Zionism started in like 1890, at which point did sort of a few rabbis co-opt Zionism and become sort of like the orthodox spearheading of this movement, like sort of the rubber stamping, the Judaic rubber stamping of Zionism? Like, when did this happen? 1910, 1920?
I must tell you that there are, again, a small minority, at least outside the State of Israel. In the State of Israel, you will find more religious people who are Zionists, but outside the State of Israel, like I told you, in the whole world, you won't find the Israeli flag in any Jewish neighborhood.
The Orthodox Jewish neighborhood.
Yes, and you can also see that. I give you an example.
Will you see Palestinian flags?
No. Oh, I haven't got my calendar. When you go in any Jewish bookshop, again, when I'm speaking Jewish...
You mean Orthodox Jews.
Speaking this, you come in my in bookshop, yes? Not in here, local Jewish bookshop, but they are not keeping Shabbos, not eating kosher. I'm speaking in my people. Any Jewish bookshop, buy a calendar. There is 30 types of calendars, wall calendars, booklets, money calendars, yes? Buy any calendar and look on the Israeli Independence Day. This is Heyir. Heyir, this is in the Jewish calendar. In the world calendar, it's considered on the 15th of May. But in our calendar, it's a bit different than the Jewish calendar. You won't see even one word mentioned about Israeli Independence Day. Anywhere in the whole world, because Zionism is not, have nothing to do with, it's not a Jewish topic at all, and most of the Jewish people are strongly opposing Zionism. The rest of them are non-Zionist. They don't put it in the calendar. It's not a part of their life at all. However, in the State of Israel is a bit different. How again, I'm coming back, there are a small percentage of rabbis what the ties to the Holy Land and the confusedness from Zionism, plus what the Zionists well paid for these rabbis, because they need them very strongly, much more than me need oxygen. They must keep a Jewish identity. How you keep a Jewish identity when you are not Jewish? You don't believe in the Torah. So they must have a percentage of so-called rabbis to give them like the rubber stamp, how you call it, yes? So the confusedness with the well-paid money, this brings in a small percentage of rabbis. There was one rabbi at that time, it's called Avraham Yitzchak Kook, but he works together with a Zionist.
And he was from where?
He coming from Poland, Russia, something like that.
Okay.
But he gone up to the Holy Land before the creation. He died before the creation of the State of Israel still. But he have followers. Other rabbis were following him. This is the movement called Mizrahi. Okay. Mizrahi is the movement of the settlers.
Okay.
This is all his followers. You will see all the settlers, you will ask him, who is your rabbi, what you follow him? Cook. Cook,
okay,
is the rabbi, yes. This rabbi, he was at his time the only rabbi in whole Europe what he was, he works together with the Zionists. And with the time, he have a small percentage of followers. However, today, they have many followers, but also, when you look them, according to all the Jewish, the 2 million Jews, what I told you, yes, there's still a small percentage.
Like you're saying 5%?
I'm not sure. In Israel, maybe they are bigger. Here in outside Israel, they are about 5%.
Okay, so you, okay, in Israel, okay.
In
so
Israel,
5%.
They are a bit bigger. I don't
is
know.
That's the diaspora, think. Okay.
Yes, but in Israel you have hundreds of thousands of Jewish people but they are strongly opposing the State of Israel. And they get beaten by the Zionist police. You can see that often in the media. And they're hanging now, since the war in Gaza, they're hanging Palestinian flags in their, neighborhoods, and the police come and take it off and take them to prison and blah, 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 like that. So on, so on, so on. So again, we come back to this point that Zionism is from the root against Judaism. Don't look about people, about the idea. Now, there can be some false ideas, and even truthful people, they're following that, or they're attached to that, or they're attached to that only 5%, 10%, for many reasons. Could be because all his family is on this side. It could be because he get paid from them. It could be because he live in Israel and he have no choice. He could be many reasons why he attached to the State of Israel some percentage. It could be, but I can't consider that everybody who it looks like Zionist, that he is really, really a Zionist. However, again, most of the people, looks like me, they are against the State of Israel. Now I will come to the community you mentioned about Chabad.
The Chabad Lubavitch. And I think their main rabbi is Menachem Mendel Schneerson.
Yes. Chabad Lubavitch, it's called.
Lubavitch, okay, thank you for that.
Not
yes.
Lubavitch, Lubavitch.
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 Lubavitch, yes. Okay.
Now, I know, I have this question, money asking me, what do you say about Chabad Lubavitch, Menachem Mendel Schneerson? I tell you a few things. First thing, not I have to answer the question. They have to answer the question. Menachem Mendel Schneerson, he is the follower of his father-in-law. He calls Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, and his forefather, it calls Shulam Ber, the Mashab.
Okay.
All these rabbis of Lubavitch, yes, the Mashab, and Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Mariatz, they called him. Mashab, father-in-law, what he follows him, he took over from him.
And where are they from? Are they from Poland,
from
Hungary?
From Russia.
From Russia, okay.
Yes. And the Mariatz and the Mashab was very strong against Zionism. Very strong. Not 100%, 120%. They're going in the front runners to fight against Zionism. Not we changed, they changed.
What made them change?
Menachem Mendel Schneerson changed.
Okay.
Not we changed.
Okay.
He have to give the answer why he changed from his...
Why do you think he changed? Or what does your community
now,
say about why
I
he changed?
I will explain you more. I don't think even that I changed. I will. You don't believe it.
No, I'm trying to understand.
Menachem Mendel Schneerson himself, he didn't was a Zionist.
Okay, so what was he
and
then?
And even today, Yes? Half of his followers, you will ask them, you are Zionist? He will say no. He will not only no. He will say, I'm a Zionist? You are crazy. I'm a Zionist? We are strong opposing Zionism. Half of the followers.
Okay, so make that make sense. Like explain how that makes sense.
How it can... He comes to the idea of Zionism from another point. From the Zionist propaganda that we are in danger. The Zionists make a strong propaganda that Muslims hating Jews.
Okay, so when you say we, you mean the Jewish, the Orthodox Jewish community is in danger, or the Jewish people, all of them?
The Jewish people over the world is in danger from the Muslims. The Muslims want to throw the Jews, all the Jews into the sea. They're ignoring the fact that we have a golden history in the Muslim lands. We have no problems with, the Muslims have no problem with Jewish people. Everybody knows a bit of history, knows we were persecuted in Europe, in many places, never in the Muslim countries. We fled from Europe because of the pogroms and the blood libels, what's happened there so often. And we fled to the Muslim lands, and the Muslims gives us such a good hospitality, they accept us. And we have no problem, all these pogroms didn't happen in the Muslim countries. And we have a golden life in the Muslim countries. But the Zionist propaganda is so strong that the Muslims want to kill all the Jews. The problem today is the religion. I know this hasn't got nothing to do with the religion. The problem today is the occupation, the genocide. What's going on have nothing to do with the religion. Just open the eyes, I say for every time, just open the eyes. Look in the whole Muslim world today. Jews live peacefully there. Jews live peacefully in Morocco, Tunis.
I mean, their populations have been decreasing, in fairness.
Decreasing, but the Jewish population, what they are today in Morocco, in Tunis, in Algeria, in Iran. Iran is the strongest enemy of Israel, yes? In Iran, there's a large community of 35,000 Jewish families. And they have a golden life there. My friends of Turicata, my colleagues just visited there for eight weeks ago. They was invited by a conference and they visited the institutions, they visited the synagogues. They have a golden life there. They have no problem. Jews have a golden life. In Turkey, everywhere, Jews live peacefully. In Iran, the biggest enemy of Israel, there is a Jewish hospital funded by the government. In Iran, to get an MP, you need 500,000 of people. Jewish people have only 35,000 and they have their own MP. In Iran, in all the Muslim countries today, Jews live peacefully, they have no problem. I was myself in Morocco a few years ago. And I just crossed over the border from Spain into Morocco. And I couldn't believe it. The Muslim drivers, minicab drivers, start to ask who will take the rabbi. And the Muslim come to me, it's just a crossover, come to me, Rabbi, bless my children. They bring me the children, Rabbi, bless my children. And I think, what's going on here? It's after 70 years of occupation, 70 years of killing so many Palestinians, and still the Muslims have no hatred to Jews.
But do you think that's every Jew's experience that lives in the Arab world? I mean, do you think that every single Jew right now who lives in the Arab world has that positive experience? Or do you think there's some that has... Surely there's some who have negative experiences in the last 50, 60 years.
I can't tell you. In the last... What?
In the last 50, 60 years since... I mean, since 1948.
By the start of the creation of the world, of the state of Israel, the Zionists themselves, they're working hard to create hatred between the Muslims. It's well known, the book, I didn't remember, the book of Noam Gilady. He was an Iraqi Jew. And he wrote in his book what he works, I think, in the Mossad at that time.
Yep.
And he saw the Mossad himself put bombs in the Jewish synagogues in Baghdad. He said that the Muslims doing that and to make Jewish people to be afraid and to run away from the country. All this propaganda design is doing all the Muslim countries. But nobody can deny that. Just please take the next flight to Morocco and look how the Jewish life there is. Go to Iran, just look how people can deny in today's world, so open world, social media, everybody knows everything. And how people can deny that? Where the anti-Semitism of Iran? We don't see that. Does not exist.
I mean, many people would say that Iran has said some anti-Semitic things. They would, I mean, there's a history of them thinking about the numbers of Holocaust, etc.
One second. Iran speaking against Israel. And I'm not coming here to justify every word what the Iranian, maybe he say in between a long speech of 1 hour. When you give a speech of 1 hour, also you say something, you can't judge a person of every word what they say. However, the point what the Iranian president means to bring out, he's clarified that very many times in the media. He clarified that the Palestinians didn't have to pay the check. What's happened in the Holocaust?
Okay, so in your view, it's purely political. There's no Iran's feelings towards Israel.
Against Israel, not against Jews. 100% have no doubt.
What about the statements from Iranian presidents that sort of cast doubt on the number of Jews that were killed in the Holocaust?
I cannot tell you exactly every word.
Okay.
Because I haven't got it here, the quotes. However, but he clarified very many times. I didn't come to minimize the Holocaust. I just come to say that the Palestinian didn't have to pay the bill of the Holocaust. If the Nazis has killed Jews, what do you want from the Palestinians? They didn't do it. Why do you take away their country? Go to Germany. I don't know. Do whatever you want. What do you want from the Palestinians? This is the point of the Iranian president. However, the Zionist taking all his speeches and twist it out to bring it out anti-Semitic. When you will look with two eyes, you will see. There is no anti-Semitism in Iran. No anti-Semitism in Morocco. And not only that. Even by Hamas and Fatah, you won't see the anti-Semitism. We just met the late leader of Hamas for 6 weeks ago in Turkey. We came there to a conference. And we didn't know that before, but in the middle of the conference come in Ismail Haniyeh, the leader of Hamas. He saw our Jewish rabbis. He embraced us. And he declared there, clearly, I have no problem with Jews. When we will have the state of Palestine, Jews will be welcome. As long they haven't got aspirations to take over the land, Jews are welcome in Palestine. They have no problem with Jews. They didn't want to kill the Jews. They didn't want to throw the Jews into the sea. They didn't even want to expel the Jews. They're welcoming Jews. But Jews, well, they are loyal Palestinian citizens. I mean, just imagine what will happen in England if you will hear something, if it will happen something, what's happened in Palestine.
But can you see how that would be a bit unnerving to a Jew who is concerned that, or who sees? I mean, firstly, the thing is, do you see how Jews would feel that that's unnerving, because they feel that without their own state, not necessarily the whole state, a just state under 1967 borders, without that state they would feel sort of anxiety, and that they are going to be dominated by a Palestinian population that will be more numerous than them, and hence the state won't be Jewish anymore. Because I mean, what I'm trying to say is, what do you think about Jews who want just, humane state in Israel for Jews based on 1967 borders?
Look, I didn't want to offend you. You going on?
No, I'm asking the question. I'm asking the question because I think we have to ask the question.
Yes, you going on non-religious tracks. I have completely a different look. I going only on the religious track. According to the religion, we are not lost in exile. God sent us in exile. And we have to stay in exile. If we're not rebelling against God. And when we are in exile,
a non-religious Jew I think it's fair to empathize with a non-religious Jew who wants justice for Palestinians under a two-state solution, would feel that if they don't have a state, and if what you said about what Ismail Haniyeh told you, that if you come and provided, you know, you will be under Palestinian guardianship or rule, then you will be fine and we embrace you. You can see how non-religious Jews will feel, but we also want our own state. We don't want to. I mean, maybe there's definitely, they'll be have a problem with the Zionist as a sort of you know, as what it is right now with its bombardment of Gaza and its occupation. But maybe they just want a nice, fair state that, you know, Palestinians who are living there will live there, but we just will have some sort of secular democracy and 1967 borders so that we can have our state and the Palestinians can have their state on 1967 borders.
Again, I'm sorry, again, I'm a religious Jew. I'm okay. A believer. I cannot go away from this tech.
Okay, but do you empathize with that sentiment, or do you empathize with that feeling that that Jew may have?
I understand that a secular Jew can have this feeling, but it's not just. It's not. He haven't got the right to have these feelings. If he wants this feeling, please don't be a Jew. Who asked him to be a Jew? Become a Gentile like all of the people and finish. What do you want from Judaism? Leave Judaism alone. Judaism is a religion. Judaism means believing in God. You can't say, no, I want to create a Jewish identity without God. This is not Judaism. And I cannot go up of these tracks. Never. I'm a believing Jew, and I will not recognize him in a Judaism like that. We are children of God. We are believers of God. And we will never give up this belief, even if it's dark. We are not in anxiety, and we are not lost in exile. God keeps his eyes on us. We are in hospital in exile. However, God have his eyes, and God will take us out of exile when the Messiah will come. And we are not rebelling against God. And this means Judaism. If somebody don't like Judaism, okay, go away from Judaism. Be English, be French, be Chinese, be whatever you want. But don't speak in the name of Judaism. Don't take Judaism with you. Leave it behind. You don't want to be a Jew? Okay, go away, finish. What do you want? Why are you taking with you the name of Judaism and you emptying that out? You're emptying out from all the holiness and you fill it in with nationalistic ideas. This is completely false. If somebody do that with Islam, what do you will tell him? If he will empty out Islam from all the belief, from all the commands, and he will say Islam means to have a strong state and blah, 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 and to speak Arabic and blah, blah, blah. What he will say? This is an empty, fake, false Islam. Please, if you don't like Islam, go away from that. You don't need it. No, I tell you, come back. However, if you don't want, go away. But don't take Islam with you. Leave the Islam religion for the people that are believers.
I think Muslims will react to that differently, depending on who they are, right? Could so, I mean, that's...
But in Judaism...
I appreciate and respect your feeling.
Yeah, not only me what I say that. Even the people what are much, much, much less Jewish than me will also say that if you ask him direct this question, yes, they will say, no, there is no Judaism without full believing in God, 100%.
Okay. So now, I mean, I just want to return to the sort of religious pro-Zionist feelings within Israel.
We are still speaking about Chabad.
Yes, we still talk. That's exactly. This is why I want to speak about this. Yes.
Again, coming to Chabad, I told you that half of them are still anti-Zionist. Why people get confused with Zionism today in Chabad? This is because of the Zionist false propaganda that Muslims hating Jews. No, it's not a conflict of occupation. No, it's not a political conflict. This is the conflict of the religion. In the confusing, constantly people like that. Now, many people, they get confused of that. And they think, Jews are in really danger. So even we are against Zionism, because they are against God. However, we have to side with them. If not, we will be killed. This is the point of Lubavitch. This is the point of Chabad. They come to the idea of Zionism not because the idea of Zionism is right.
But for protection?
For protection, that's all. If you will look in their writings, you will see that in every single line, Shleimus U.S., we have to protect Jewish people, not to be in danger. You will see that in... But is going together with the Zionist ideas, confused, mixed it up. But they didn't come to Zionism because we need a state. We need to go out of exile. No. If you will ask them, they will say, no, God had to send us in exile. We have to stay in exile, but we have to be protected. We didn't want to be killed. We don't want another Holocaust. We have to be protected. So today, even the Zionists are rebelling against God. We have no choice. We have no choice. If not, we will be killed. First, we have to be alive. And then we will see more about the religion. That's what they will say.
So that's their theory. Their theory 100%. Is we need protection.
You can
need
just join the local Chabad synagogue here, going to the rabbi, ask him the question. Why you are siding with Zionism?
Because we need protection.
He but surely, come to this
but surely
point.
I mean, to play devil's not advocate from
need,
their perspective.
Not because we are need protection.
No, but from their perspective, post-Holocaust,
no, because
you can see
we
where
are
it comes
in danger.
From. Yeah, I get it. But I mean, from their perspective, post-Holocaust, surely that's a legitimate idea. Don't you think?
What?
Their perspective is that they are in danger, right?
Yes.
Now, you've mentioned that there is been a lot of anti-Arab propaganda, that the Arabs want to throw the Jews into the sea, right? Now, coming out of the Holocaust, surely you can sort of empathize with that sense that Jewish identity and Jewish people would be in danger. I'm not saying it should be legitimate to then, you know, transfer the people of Palestine away from Palestine. I'm just saying that sense of insecurity, that sense of this is a really big thing that's happened to us as a religion and as a people, right? And you can sort of see where that fear comes from.
The right view how to look on that is with the eyes of the religion, as I told you. The Holocaust was our operation, but we are still in the hands of God. And we cannot protect ourselves. Just give a look. State of Israel are a strong country. Yeah, just the last 2 weeks, America just taken away from them. Yes?
I mean, they're still giving them arms and guns.
Yes. This is a play. I don't care. I know America will come back. Don't worry. Yes? But God runs the world. Yes? The State of Israel cannot last long. The Arab countries get stronger and stronger and stronger. At the moment, they cannot fight Israel. But there will come a day where they will be more organized. Yes, Israel will not protect them.
But but that's the exact fear. That's the exact fear that these Zionists will say.
1 second. Again, I coming from the believing point of view. The believing point of view that God runs the world. We are not losing our trust in God. In any case, whatever will happen, we know that everything in the world God has done and He doing and He will do. In what God wants to do, nobody can change it. Just take an example, what's happened 5 years ago, Corona. Yes, small thing, you can see it with your eyes. Turns over the whole world upside down. Billions of pounds. Goes in drain, yes, money, businesses, everything, yes, a small thing. Who sent it? God sent it. When God wants something, He finds His way how to bring it. We don't run the world. This is the right way how to look on that. Now, practical point, to say that Israel protects, in my eyes, Israel just bring in Jewish people into danger. We lived all the years in Muslim countries so good. Who are creating anti-Semitism? The Zionists say, yes, we have to give for the Jewish people a safe haven. Jews need a safe haven of the world, like you said, yes? However, just open your eyes and look at the plain fact. Zionism is already 75 years. Yes? Look at the plain fact. Where, I ask you a simple question, where is the most danger place for a Jew to leave today? Start from Australia, go the whole world, up to Argentina. Where the most danger place for a Jew to leave?
You tell me.
Israel. We live here in England. Yes, I say for everybody. I lived 87 years here in England. I don't know how an English soldier looks like. I don't know the uniform. I never saw them. I saw them in the changing of the guards. That's all. I don't know how it looks like. In Israel, every small child see a soldier in daily life. Weapons, tanks, in daily life. Not now when the war is in Gaza. The whole 75 years. Soldiers all around the country. Where you go around the corner, you find soldiers with weapons. This means a safe country. Every day, not a killing. How many killings of Jewish people you heard in England in the last 40 years? You're coming from South Africa. How many Jewish people were killed there? How many people, Jewish people were killed in Argentina, in Australia? If you hear a Jewish people were killed in Australia, the whole news is up. Anti-Semitism. Crazy. I'm sorry. Jews live in the whole world peaceful, safe. Even the Muslim countries. As I told you, go in, take a flight to Iran. You will see Jews live there peaceful. Jews live there safely. The only danger place is the state of Israel. Did they bring practically any safeness for Jewish people? 100% not. They endanger Jewish people in Palestine, in the whole world. When I going in the street now, in a hair behind me, Hitler, Hitler. Why is that? Because people saw in the TV what's going on in Gaza. Pictures what you didn't see in the last 80 years. The last time what we saw this kind of pictures what you see in Gaza was in by Hitler, by the Nazis. So they creating anti-Semitism. They didn't save us from anti-Semitism. They don't just endanger us. This is really what our rabbi said before the creation of the state for 80, 85 years ago. The Chofetz Chaim, other great rabbis, that if they will have a state, they will endanger Jews. They will just bring disasters. And that's what we see with our eyes. The state of Israel only brings bloodshed. Bloodshed after bloodshed. Just a disaster. That's what they're bringing. They're burning anti-Semitism under the foot of Jewish people all over the world. They didn't bring any safeness for Jewish people. However, I can understand that people like Lubavitch, like Chabad, get confused in the thinking, oh, a big army will protect us. However, just look the plain fact. They protect you or they endanger you.
How do you think it is then with such minority religious support that the movement of Zionist had, that yet, you know, Zionism has so many...
I must tell you, they have a minority, but this minority have a big mouth. The Zionists back them. And they give them the media. And every time they bring out rabbis on the media. Rabbis, every time. Rabbis on the media. The Zionists back them. However, from our side, they silence out. Yes? I'm here in England. I give you an example. Yes? 37 years. I can say that I'm attending every single rally, usually.
Every, like, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian
rally? Yes, yes. Okay. These rallies... Even the media, the mainstream media, always play them down. Yes? If there is 500,000, they will say 200,000. If there is 100,000, they will say 30,000. Every time they play them down. However, they must bring some photos of that. They can't ignore it. People like me and my friends, you will never see even a single picture in the media.
Why? I mean that is changing a bit. I mean, especially, I mean, now in New York...
I don't speak about the social media. I don't speak about Al Jazeera. I don't speak about Press TV. I'm speaking now about the mainstream media. You will never see us in the media. Why? This Zionist influence on the media. I myself, I remember that I was in Manhattan, in the second street, by the Israeli embassy. 30,000 Jewish people on the street to protest against the state of Israel. I was there. Even one word didn't was mentioned, even the local news. And even the police, when they say the road is blocked, it's a big road of 5 lanes, 7 lanes, a big road, it was blocked. 30,000 people on the road. The police say some roadworks there. They didn't want to mention a protest of Jewish people. This is what the Zionists, silence in, have a strong control on the media. From the other side, this minority, what working with them, this is the bringing always up on the media. So it looks, it makes the impression that they have a majority. But I give you the example. Look in every Jewish neighborhood. All over the world, you won't see an Israeli flag there.
Okay. I want us now just bring us to, you mentioned Gaza and you mentioned the, okay, he's just, what's the...
You can keep going. I'll just be back in 5 minutes.
Okay. Yes. Should we wait for you or should we keep going?
Don't want to be late, but let me bring you some water in the day.
Okay, fine.
Just taking a break to break our fast.
Let's close the door and let's roll. Okay. So we just took a small little break to break our fast.
You're fasting?
Yeah, we not anymore. Now we just ended it. No, it's fine. Thanks.
Sorry, I'm drinking the whole
No, no, it's we didn't want to not you it's have not you. Right. We didn't want we didn't want you to not have to drink. Okay. We all can drink now, so we're fine. you mentioned Gaza, and you mentioned what's happening there is creating a sort of anti-Jewish feelings or anti-Semitism, right? I want to get to Gaza, but before that, and we kind of spoke about this while we were breaking fast. You've been all your life. You've grown up within an Orthodox Jewish community. Were you always going to become a rabbi, or was there a point in your life where you may have become something else?
I mean, in the Jewish life, is to become a rabbi is the highest point, but. A rabbi, there is many rabbis. There are smaller rabbis, greater rabbis, more.
Which one are you? Are you a big rabbi or a small rabbi? I don't understand the hierarchy. So,
again, to be a rabbi, that means you learned enough that people asking you question on religions. On religion, may I do that Shabbos? I'm not allowed to do that. May I eat it? I'm not allowed to eat it. May I go on my life according to the Judaism of this way, on this way? The asking question, you know how to answer according to the Jewish law. Yes, then you become a rabbi when you can answer all these questions.
So did you always want to become a rabbi? Or
pardon?
Did you always want to become a rabbi?
Usually, yes.
So from the time you were a little child, you never saw any other career option for yourself?
Yes, I find myself better in this way, yes.
Always wanted to be a rabbi?
Yes, yes. I'm not only a rabbi, I'm also a teacher.
Okay.
And I'm a professional in other things also. I'm very good typer. I need it for my work.
Okay.
To give out booklets and other things. But I have I'm a teacher for special education, for special children. But I feel my whole life that I can give them to bring them up. I see that when I come in, they call me, I come to a place and I see a child, he's weak, he cannot. And I study with him every day, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'm coming back tomorrow. After 3 months, I see.
So that gives you joy.
Child.
That gives you joy, seeing someone grow.
Yes, I build up someone. I told everybody I don't do it for the money. I build up someone. It gives me very good feeling. However, but when you are a rabbi, it depends how much you study. And, of course, my father was much bigger rabbi than me.
Okay, so will you become a big rabbi one day?
I will see. I don't know.
Okay. When is the first time, right, that you can remember where the State of Israel did something which deeply hurt you?
130 years ago.
So before you were born.
Starting the idea, of course.
So it's the very inception of Zionism that for you is the most offensive thing.
Zionism creates anti-Semitism. It's not only what I said. This Ted Hertz said that in his books. In his book, what he wrote it. It's everybody can read it. He say the anti-Semites will be our best friends because they're working on the same background. As more anti-Semitism we will create in the world, as more people will wake up to create their own state. As more that people living in the whole world, good, why they have to go up to Israel? Why? Why they need their own country? They live very good. So he wrote, we have to help the anti-Semites to create all these programs on the world to wake up Jewish people to build their own state. Zionism from the very beginning, one of the strongest power was anti-Semitism.
If you were a Palestinian throughout life, how do you think you'd feel
By
about?
By the way, I am.
Oh, okay. If you So I guess this is how you feel. Okay, if you were living in Gaza,
right? More specifically, how do you think, if you were growing up in Gaza and you were a 22-year-old person who's lived most of your life under siege, all of your life under occupation, in quite really bad conditions, how do you think you would feel about everything?
How everybody feels when an occupier is on his head. However, there is a difference of occupation. There could be, I think, if French will occupy England, yes, you will not see it in your private life. You don't see any difference in your private life. Okay, they want to bring in the French culture, in the French language, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what they want to change, yes. However, you will not feel, if you are a shopkeeper, you will not feel it in the daily life. If England is here, the government, or French is the government, yes, usually, yes. However, in Palestine, the case is not like that. The Palestinians are considered really as second-class citizens, or third, or maybe tenth. I mean, you see it in the daily life, the strong difference between Palestinian, just when you cross over from one neighborhood to the other, and you see the neighborhoods, how they're running. You see the big, big, big difference between the Zionist places and the Palestinian places. And there are so much, I don't know how to call it, they have so many laws, but they cannot build up themselves because the Zionists didn't want them to be big. They want, you can stay there as slaves. Not exactly slaves, but as second-class citizens. Stay there. As poor people, I will stay I will knock on your head, and you will stay quiet. I mean, the occupation in Palestine is not like French will occupy England, something like that. This is much more than them. So when you say how I feel, how everybody in the whole world people feel if somebody occupies his land, and of course he wants to see. The only thing in his life, what he wants to see, the occupiers away from the land. And he wants to get back his land. Again, the occupiers, not the Jews. The occupiers. He wants to see the occupiers out of the land. But they have no problem with Jews. As long as they don't know the difference between Jews and Zionists, could be that there are many Palestinians who are hating Jews because they are confused. They see in daily life Jewish people fighting against them. But as more we will bring out the message that Jews are not Zionists, Jews willing to live under a Palestinian government there, if we want to be loyal Palestinian citizens, as more I see that in my eyes, I come to many demonstrations, the police stop me every time, tell me, oh, where are you going? So I go to the rally. You're danger, they will kill you, what? I say for the police every time, I'll show you a miracle. You see the 100,000 Muslims? We're going out in 10 people. You will see, nobody will tell me nothing. I show you a miracle. And I see that every time people saw the Jewish people, they're sewing with our placards, they're sewing with our badges, Free Palestine. They see exactly what's going on here. We are best friends. And I must tell you, I come in very many times in Muslim
spaces.
Yes, I speak, I'm giving speeches in many mosques and in other gathering of Muslim people. Very much, I can say, every week. I speak here in Hanslow, in Pele, I spoke even outside London. I speak in Birmingham, in Newcastle, in Leicester. They invite me, many people. I come in many times with the Muslims. The Muslim people are so hurtful people. I know the world have a very bad look. Every Muslim have 2 bombs in his pocket. And they are terrorists. Every Muslim is a terrorist. I see the opposite. Whenever I come to Muslims, hurtful people. Hurtful people. Every time I'm coming, they offer me, you want to eat, you want to drink, you want that, you want that. And it's coming from the bottom of the heart. Yes, I see that. I come in between other people also, yes. The same thing, other people will offer me a glass of water. And Muslim people will offer me that. It's a different offer. You see, this coming from his heart. The Muslim people are so hurtful people, so strongly away from terrorism, from something like that. Of course, everyone who they occupy them. This is what looks like occupation and terrorizing people 75 years. This is what's how it looks like. But again, they are against occupiers, not against Jews. They have no problem with Jews.
Earlier on, you mentioned that you met Ismail Haniyeh about 6 weeks ago.
What? I'm sorry?
Earlier on, you mentioned that you met Ismail Haniyeh about
not
6 weeks.
Not me, one of my colleagues.
Your colleagues met and he embraced them, and yes. and you were happy. At the same time, Ismail Haniyeh is the leader of Hamas. At the same time, Hamas are behind October 7th, where 1,200 Israelis, 800 of them civilians, were killed. How do you make sense of all of that, and how does that make you feel?
You know, look, I'm not justifying any bloodshed. I'm not justifying any thing like that. I can only tell you, 7th of October didn't happen for 6 months ago. It's happened for 75 years ago. This is the fruit of occupation. This is the fruit of terrorizing people. I'm not justifying that. But you have to realize the fact. This is the fact. If you terrorize a whole nation of millions of Palestinians, you exiled millions of them, tore them away from the land, they are still 75 years. The children, grandchildren, grandchildren, growing up in camps. They haven't got normal houses in Jordan, in Syria. Yes, this is crazy what's going on there. Yes, they haven't got a right of return to their own land. I'm speaking so many times to Palestinians. They're taking out the keys. The keys, and say, you see this key? This is from my house in Hebron. This is from my house. Nobody can take it away. I will come back. I will open it with this key. Yes, this is the feelings of the Palestinian people. Yes, this is the fruit. This is the fruit of occupation and of killing and of terrorizing so many years. It's happened what has happened. With justification, without justification, I didn't go to justify anything. Yes, I hope and I pray for the peaceful dismantlement of the state of Israel. You know, look, according to the Jewish religion, the state of Israel will come to an end. I'm sure in that. I'm sure. Why I'm sure? Not because I see the political, how the political runs. Because I look in the Torah, and I believe in the Torah, and I believe in God. In the Torah it's written by a similar situation. The reference of that is Numbers 14, verse 41. Verse 41, yes. It was in the time when God take out Jewish people from Egypt on the way to the Holy Land. And God told them to stay in the desert for 40 years. However, there was many people, Jewish people, who didn't agree. And they rebel against God. They say, no, we're going up now. And the prophet Moses told them, why do you rebel against God? You will not succeed. Everything what is written in the Torah, it's not only for that time. This is forever. A rebellion against God cannot be succeed. As long as the state of Israel is a rebellion against the Almighty. As I told you, God told us to stay in exile. He sent us to exile. And told us to stay in exile, to waiting patiently of the Messiah. And going out of exile is a rebellion against the Almighty. As long as it's a rebellion against the Almighty, they will not succeed. They're already 75 years. Again, our rabbis say that before the creation of the state, that even they will have a state, this will only last for a certain amount of years. They didn't say how many. We don't know. But at the end, they will come to an end. And we pray for a peaceful land. Nobody looks for bloodshed. This is what our prayers are. So, again, what I want, not the Zionists to go out of Gaza. I want them to go out of the whole Palestine, from the river to the sea. Again, the whole Palestine should go back for the Palestinians, and that doesn't mean killing Jews. That doesn't mean expelling Jews from there. No, we can live there like we live in Morocco, like we live in Iran. We have a beautiful life in Iran and Turkey. We can live in Palestine the same. We don't have to be expelled. We don't have to be killed. And we will not be killed and expelled. We pray to God for the peaceful end. This is my answer to this question.
You mentioned the coming of the Messiah. Two things I want to ask, but I'll deal with one first. at the moment, there's a lot of noise about the red cows that have come to there. I think they in the West Bank at the moment, and some Jewish settlers and Orthodox Jews who are Zionists plan on sacrificing the cows at some point in the Temple Mount. I think that's the intentions. You'd know better, maybe. To hasten the coming of the Messiah. When you hear that, what's your thought on that?
I must explain you. I must tell you firstly, these people are not Jewish, are not Zionist. The Zionists are evil. They are murderers, but they are not crazy. These people are crazy people. This is not Zionist. The Zionists don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Torah. They don't believe in the red cow. Did you ever hear Bibi Netanyahu speaking about the red cow? He laughs on that. It's a joke. He don't believe in nothing. It's a joke. The Zionists are evil, but not crazy. Yes. Maybe it would be better if they are crazy. But unfortunately, they are not crazy. They are quite clever. Yes. And they're using the cleverness on the bad side. However, we hope that God will bring an end to them. These people are completely crazy.
I mean, when you say that, I mean, that can sound quite dangerous. You hope that God will bring an end to them. I guess you mean peacefully.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I mentioned it a few times before. Of course, every time when I'm speaking about the dismantlement, we hope and pray for a peaceful dismantlement. Not only that, I know people asking, what is dreaming peaceful, peaceful? To bring an end to the State of Israel cost millions of lives. No, I will give you an example. I don't know how old are you, if you remember what's happened in the USSR.
Yes, in 1991,
yeah. Strong power. People think to bring an end to this power, it costs millions of lives. It didn't cost even a single life. Nothing. This shows if there is a will, there is a way. And the same thing in South Africa, where you're coming from.
Yep.
In South Africa, people think to bring an end to the apartheid regime, it will cost hundreds of thousands. It costs lives, but not so much as people thinking. So the same thing can happen in Israel. They can come to a peaceful end. Now we come back to the question of the red cow. Again, you have to understand the concept of this red cow, yes? This is a spiritual concept, yes? You can do whatever you want. You can build a table. You can build a house looks like the Temple Mount. Yes? But you can't bring God in that. You can't bring him in. You can't make God to give his spiritual in the red cow. You can take 10 red cows, you can sacrifice, you can bring them, but God you can't bring in them. Yeah, this is crazy. It's like your child sitting down in Morrison on the car. There he has a Morrison car. Ham, 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 I'm driving, I'm driving. Wow, 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 I'm a fire engine. You're laughing. What are you laughing? I'm driving. You're laughing. Yeah, the same thing what they do in the red cow. Yes, I'm driving, I have a red cow. I'm building at the Temple Mount. This is a joke. What's going on? You can bring God. If you want to bring God, there's own way. Turn your face to him. Follow him. Then you can hope that God will come to you. Then you will get connected to God. You will not bring God to you with red cows. You will building a nice building, much, much nicer than a Temple Mount. This is like the child going with a small car. That's what I told you. These people are not Jewish and not Zionists. They are crazy people. They're thinking, when they're going on the car, big babies, we make a red cow. They can make 10 red cows. God is not there. That's all. If they want to be close to God, come to God. Follow God. Look what God asking you. God asking you to be in exile. Fasting, follow him. Then you can hope something will happen. And okay, now we're coming to the question of Messiah.
Now we're coming to the question of Messiah, yes absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so the thing is, I mean, you've mentioned a few times that, that the Jews are in exile, according to Jewish orthodoxy, and one day when the Messiah comes, you'll return to the Holy Land. Critics of that will say that, that that's also a form of Zionism. I mean, not in the sense that it is now, but, I mean, is this coming to the Holy Land a peaceful coming? Is a, like, what? How do you conceive it? What does your scripture say about it? What are your thoughts on that? Because even that, I mean, if, I'm sure Palestinians, it'll get, assuming they get their freedom, which hopefully will come at some point in 10 years' time, and then they'll be like, oh, but then the Orthodox Jews are going to come to the Holy Land. So what does this mean? What does it mean when the Messiah will come and Jews will return to the Holy Land?
Yes. Before I answer this question, as first thing, the Zionists are not followers of Messiah. They don't believe in Messiah. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in that. Bibi Netanyahu never mentioned Messiah because they don't believe in Messiah. If he mentioned it, it's because he's using the Torah for his own purposes, taking out of Torah. He not eat kosher. He not keeping Shabbos. He just taking out the promised land. The promised land is taken out from the Torah. If you believe in the Torah, why you don't keep Shabbos? Why you don't keep kosher? Why you don't keep all the commandments of the Torah? Yes, he don't believe in the Torah, he don't believe in nothing. He don't believe in Messiah also not. If he use Messiah, is it only to confuse people? And in any case, Messiah cannot be a follower of Zionism and not the father of Zionism. What is the purpose of Messiah? I will try to explain what is that Messiah. Now, then you will understand that, basically. In our belief, Messiah is a person who will come on the world. He will be a prophet, nothing more than a prophet. He will be a prophet, that's all. A simple prophet, a person, a man. He will be a prophet. He will not do nothing. Everything what will happen when Messiah will come, God will do himself. Messiah will not do nothing, nothing. The only thing what Messiah will do, and this is clearly written in our books, the only thing what Messiah will do is to bring in spiritual in the heart of all the people. Messiah will not be a man of power at all. In our scriptures, Messiah is described, Uni v'roicha v'alachamo. Uni v'roicha v'alachamo means a poor man comes on a white donkey. We don't know exactly what it means. There are no donkeys today. Like many prophecies, what you can't understand till it will happen. You can't understand exactly the words of the prophets. However, Messiah is not described as a man of power. He's described as a poor man coming on a donkey. Messiah will bring spiritual in the heart of people. He will not come with physical power at all. He will come with spiritual. And he will bring up all the people to serve the same God together in harmony and peace. Messiah will not come with power. I'm the king, everybody my slave. If not, I will kill everybody, blah, 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 blah. It is not this the meaning of Messiah. Messiah is a spiritual thing. He will bring people close to God.
I think it's been more than 6 months since October 7th. About 33,000 Palestinians have been killed, including the people under the rubble and the low, the fact that we can't actually count how many people under the rubble. It could be higher. It could be 40,000. There's more than 70,000 people injured. The atrocities don't seem to be getting any less vulgar and violent based on what happened in Al-Shifa Hospital. Did you think that... Has Israel's response shocked you?
I must tell you that when a person going away from the religion, he's not going away from the religion, he's going away from his humanity. He's become an animal, like you can see what's happened in Israel. Yes, they lost the last points of humanity. They lost the basics of humanity, what's going on there. However, if you said it shot me, no, I expect it. I expect from people, but going away from the religion, I expect everything. I expect from people, but going away from the religion, they will behave like Nazis. I didn't want to name anybody. He's a Nazi, not a Nazi. I'm not going in, and especially I'm not going to give names for people. This person, fine. But that what you see today in Gaza, you never see that. The last 80 years, you didn't see pictures like that. These pictures is only what's happened in Poland and in Germany for 80 years ago. This happened when a person going away from the religion. He lost all the basics, all the humanity he belonged. So because of that, for me, it's everything expected that's going on there. But I don't look of that from this point of view at all. When I see what's going on in Gaza, I must tell you, you believe it or not, I cannot sleep in the night. I get crazy. And it's so shameful that it's done in my name. But I must tell you, I feel selfish to say that. Because that's what happened there, my name, not my name. However, look, 12,000 children. The children don't know why they're dying. They don't know they are Palestinians even. Why they have to die. They don't know why they're dying. It's terrible what's going on there. It's terrible. I get crazy what's going on there.
If you could speak to a Palestinian child in Gaza, under siege, being starved right now, what would you want to say to this child?
Give a look. It's not my ability to help him. The only thing what I can say, I pray for you. I'm with you. I'm on your side. And I wish, if I can, you on your place. I'm with you. I'm with you and I pray for you. And you have to know that according to the Jewish religion, the state of Israel will come to an end. And you will have back the country from the river to the sea, not only in Gaza.
What do you think about the fact that Israel says and Netanyahu says that they have the right to defend themselves?
Very simple. Who gives you the right to stay there in the first place? It's not your place. Simple. It's not your house. You take over someone's house and then you say, I have the right to defend myself. What do you think? You will come in someone's house and everything will be quiet? Of course not. Of course not. Give them back for the Palestinians the whole land. Yes? And you will see that everything will come on the right place. They say they want to defend. Please, if you want to help Jewish people, stop to defend us. That's all. We're living very, very nicely under the Arab rulership, under the Muslim rulership, all over the world, in Morocco, in Iran, in Tunis. We can the same thing live in Palestine. If you want to protect Jews, just stop to defend. Just stop protecting us. You will see everything will come right. And as I mentioned before, and really this is my message to our government, to the government of the USA, into the EU, for helping so much Israel. I understand why they're helping Israel. They want to help Jews after what's going on, the Holocaust. So many Jewish people have been killed, and they want to help them out. And what they can do, they give them a country. If you want to help Jews, just open the eyes. See clearly with your eyes. Israel didn't help Jews. They didn't save Jews. Israel just bringing Jews into danger. Israel just bringing bloodshed, not to mention for Palestinians, for Jews. Look what's going on. 75 years of bloodshed, and there is no end. No end. No end to this bloodshed. Disaster after disaster. Look what's going on here. If you want help Jews, bring a peaceful dismantlement to the state of Israel. I'm sure, I'm not a politician, but if there is a will, there will be a way. As I told you, I give you the example of USSR. I give you the example of South Africa. If there is a will, there is a way. If America, England, EU will spend 10% of the money what they invest in Israel, 10% of that, to find a way to bring a peaceful dismantlement for the state of Israel, they will find their way. If you want to help Jews, this is my message to them. We are thankful to them, they want to help Jews. Very nice. The intention is very good, but the deeds is very wrongly. Helping the state of Israel only brings disaster of Jewish people, only brings bloodshed. Please, bring an end to this bloodshed for Jews and Palestinians together. Bring a peaceful dismantlement of the state of Israel. Then you will see Jews will live in Palestine peacefully together with the Muslim people like we live for centuries together. I'm coming from Palestine. Yes, as I told you. My mother, she's already over the 90s. God should give her a long life, a healthy life. She told me, she remember, we used to live with the Palestinian neighbors, such a good relationship. We have no problems. We used to babysit each other, the children. She told me she remembered that. The Muslims bring over in the holidays the children to the Jewish neighbors. And the Jews bring over to the Muslim neighbors. Jews and Palestinians have lived very good, have a golden life. And as I told you, today in the Muslim countries, Jews live peaceful. And I give you another example, just of my neighborhood in Stamford Hill. Yes, there are thousands of Jewish families there. All are minicab drivers, not all, almost, of the minicab drivers are Muslim people. We sending our small children 2-3 years in the playgroup in school with the Muslim drivers. I never heard even a single problem. There is no hatred between Muslims and Jews. Again, please, if you want to help Jews, bring a peaceful dismantlement of this terrible Zionist murderic state. Bring peace in the area. Give back the land for the Palestinians. Not a two-state. A two-state will never succeed. Again, I'm coming from the point of the religion. The Jews have no right to rule even 1 inch of a land. Jews have to stay in exile until the coming of Messiah. So, give back the land from the Palestinians, from the river to the sea. If there is a will, there is a way. You will find a way how to do it peacefully. And again, according to the religion, this will happen at the end. Again, this will happen. I'm not a prophet, but I'm just saying the words of the Torah. This will happen. And please help that to become a reality.
Rabbi Ilhanan Beck, thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.